Yo Pods, check out Meet Mitch and Leewood for award-winning barbecue, outstanding atmosphere, and your destination to watch all your favorite March Madness action. Tailgating for opening day? Place your order online and pick up on way to the game. Meet Mitch Barbecue, East 95th and Mission in Ranch Martin or Shopping Center.
You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Had a number of different friends of the program come by. A gentleman named Blake, met him for the first time. Outside sales, stopped in, a little donation, took advantage of the $8 and 10 cent burgers. You can get them right now at Coach's. We're at basically 135th and Grandview, 9089 West 135th Street. If you want to GPS it, $8.10 for their world-famous meatloaf as well. Don't forget to book your holiday parties here at Coach's. They got back rooms. They're great tent-covered patio upstairs. It's a great place for parties this time of year. They've got the heaters going on. It really is a cool setting upstairs. You can book that all here at Coach's. And, of course, you can make your donations to our 21st annual 810 food drive right here at Coach's. And, of course, at all the neighborhood Aldis. We're bribing you for cash. You want to make a donation, every $20 donation that you make. So if you make an $80 donation, four times you'll be entered to win prizes. Included in that, some autographed Patrick Mahomes photos. So take advantage of that. Every $100 donation gets you an entry to win two lower-level tickets to the Chiefs and Raiders. Think about this. You could be going to the Chiefs and Raiders game, two lower-level tickets, plus parking, and have a write-off.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. Oh, and by the way, the most important part, help somebody who needs it. I got the statistic, 25,000 households go to bed hungry every night in Johnson County alone. Mm. This is something that we can do something about, and we ask you to help us do it.
That's win-win-win.
Win-win-win-win.
Tickets, write-off,
all
helping people out, just winning everywhere.
Yeah. Yes.
That's fantastic.
Todd Lebo joins us. As we mentioned, we're down a man. Our buddy, our partner, Peter Yates Enoch, out today. Had a little surgery. He's doing great. Recovering from a little bit of surgery, but feeling good. But not quite up to coming in to do the show. But he says, as I mentioned earlier, hell or high water. He's going to be here come next week. So be ready for that. He will be back in the saddle at that point. But we have no Pete. That means we've got some Liebs, as Todd Lebo has agreed to fill in with us. Todd, yeah, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I'm a quarter of the man that Pete is in a situation like this, but I'll be here to help any way I can.
I appreciate that. Just like you were there, ready to help today out at Arrowhead, where we had 50 people in a room that the fire marshal would say was probably good for about 20.
It may be 20. I'm not sure that's a comfortable room for 20, honestly, but that's what we do. We just soldier on out there and just bring the information to the people. It's so important.
That's right. Whatever it takes, man, whatever it takes. We love to see you here at Coach's. Bring your food donations. Make your party plans here at Coach's. Just get it all done. Help out the community. Give back. And thanks to our buddy Brian. He's roaming around here. Dumb enough to wear shorts on a day like today. Gotta love that. That's two of us sporting our short pants. If it's gonna get into the 40s, we're gonna go shorts. So me and Darby have that. We have that in common.
That's three of you because Andy Reid had his shorts on as well, and he had his shorts on at practice last Friday. He's a shorts guy. You and Coach are the same there. Wear the shorts.
Yep. You know, I guess great minds think alike. Speaking of great minds, that takes us to Jed Marshall. Time for some Jed lines. Jed, what are we looking at this week?
A lot of stuff to get to, Serena, as always. We're going to start with the biggest news story of the day, at least in my mind. Our friend Jeff Passan, who we have here in the program, is talking about the Astros sign stealing and how the investigation might be rolling back to 2017. To me, I know this is a big deal because it goes against the etiquette of baseball, but I also think that this is the sport where they talk about if you're not cheating, you're not trying. What do you guys think? Is too much being made of this or not enough?
You know, I think I don't get it. Like, everybody tries to, you know, figure out where the pitch is going to go, right? Like, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're worried about stealing signs, come up with better signs. I don't know. I don't get it. This is a day and age. Like, you think a team that, like the Astros, that has cameras in the bullpen and all over spring training to see what the spin rate on pitches is, on the pitches are, is not going to have, like, cameras trained on the signals. I think everybody does this. The Astros are just better at it. And I don't get it. It's just like Herm Edwards didn't seem to be blown away by the fact that the Patriots were taping signs. He's like, everybody does it. It's not really that big a deal. I think a little too much is being blown out of proportion, because this, to me, is what you ought to do.
I'm not big on using the technology with the camera out there. I think you're supposed to try to decode people's signs, right? That's part of the game. You should watch and look. But if they were relaying things and making it that quick to know, I'm a little bit down on the technology part of it. I don't like that part.
Yeah, just say it all goes, or if you have rules, you got to play by the rules. I mean, the kind of underlying, we talked about the unwritten rules of baseball. That's, to me, that's something of an offshoot of that with this. Okay, everyone does it, so no one's going to do anything about it. I do wonder if are the Astros, you said they were really good at it, but they clearly weren't really good at not getting caught at it. Is it just the focus of the fact that they're the best team in baseball the last 3 years, and so more people are looking for
ways to... Well, they didn't get caught. Someone ratted them out, an ex-teammate. That's the problem with any of these things. But you trust someone to get in the circle, but, and then they leave the circle.
But does it matter if Mike Fire says this about the Phillies or some team that's been the dregs for a few years? It kind of goes...
The Reds.
Yeah, the Reds. It goes by the wayside. The reason why it's drawing as much attention as it is because it's the Houston Astros. They won the title the year they're talking about it, and they were in the World Series this year. That's part of what's making...
Yeah, that's why they're talking about it. Here's my thoughts. How are you going to stop it?
Yeah, you probably can't.
Well, you just have to have people be honest when they do things, and that's not going to happen in sports.
That's why.
It's never going to happen. Yeah. It's never going to happen. So just get rid of the rule.
We have lots.
Let them do whatever and come up with a better – come up with signs. You don't do anything but play baseball for 6 months. I mean, change your signs, for God's sake. I mean, how many signs are there anymore in baseball?
Yeah. Well, it's much more complicated than it was back in the day. I know that.
I mean – Listen, here's the thought. Get catchers that can catch and just have the pitcher throw his pitch. I don't see how you can stop this. So why not just say, listen, we can't police it. They eventually brought alcohol back. Okay? We had prohibition. They went, we can't stop it. Everybody's drinking. Nobody thinks it's a problem. If they're all doing it, why are we running around bothering policing it?
Petro's always said, just legalize it, man. Just legalize it.
And tax them.
I think
tax
they should
the teams
tax
for
the stealing
signs.
Of signs.
I think they
it.
Should. I think
Bill
they should.
It's just like weed. It's just like weed. It's literally just like weed.
Literally.
They should
it's
at least
no difference.
They should at least decriminalize stealing signs.
Decriminalize stealing signs.
Say no to stealing signs.
We're going to transition to the world of basketball, because this has to do with just taxing certain things. The Miami Heat have suspended Dion Waiters 10 games after he experienced a panic attack after consuming a THC-infused edible, sources told ESPN's Brian Windhorst. What do you guys think? Is this a good idea or a bad idea to take a THC-infused edible before getting on a plane, especially for a work trip?
Oh, okay. I thought if you were going to say, like, is it a bad idea that – you know, they're coming down on him. I mean, didn't they have to land the plane? Like, he started freaking out?
Yeah,
they had to land the plane?
He got a little loopy, let's say.
Well,
I mean,
he may
handle
just need
your
it,
stuff,
right?
Man.
Yeah, I mean, maybe he needs a little something to get on a plane. A lot of people need a little something on a plane. Here's the thing. Know what you're putting in your body. There you go.
Well, I think he did know what he was putting in his body.
Well, I think he
had a pretty good idea. I don't think he...
He knew, but I don't think he maybe didn't know the edibles can be like that. You don't know exactly how you're going to respond to them. Maybe he got a double dose.
Do tell, Todd.
Well, that's what the people I've talked to, they say, watch out for those edibles, because if you get involved, you think, oh, nothing's happening. Then you eat some more. Next thing you know, you're double dosed. Trouble.
Yes. Can confirm.
Being the only person who actually might have some experience, I think that Dion Waiters might be an idiot. And like Todd said, was... you know, over anxious and maybe ate one and was like, nothing's happening, and then ate 15 of them and freaked out.
I object.
Yeah, they're not Skittles.
I object.
Why? Because he's a Syracuse guy?
I object. That's right. After 2 years on the campus at Syracuse, the man must be declared a genius.
Has to.
How could he possibly come through 2 years at Syracuse and not just be, you know, totally sharp?
And check Syracuse, I mean, all the drugs they peddle there, I mean, how could he not have come across this before, right?
I've heard stories from you, Pet, about the fine academic institution that Syracuse is. We're going to talk about another Hughes guy. Carmelo Anthony is saying that he guarantees a return to the NBA this season. He says even 2,000%. Yes, I'm coming back. What do you guys think? Good idea, bad idea?
There's that Syracuse math, 2,000%.
Again, the math, yeah.
I think Syracuse he's had some a couple edibles.
2,000 edibles.
I think, yeah. Were these two bullet points of the same story? Is that what this was?
In a related story.
Listen, Carmelo Anthony Syracuse gave me a wonderful memory in my life as I sat with Seren Petro at the Superdome. It was thrilling to watch him be one of the freshmen who did it, right? Who actually won and done it the right way. But ever since then, he's been a black hole in the NBA, and I don't need him in the NBA anymore. I'm done.
Well, number one, his game does not translate to the modern game of move the ball and let it fly from downtown.
No.
I will grant you. He kind of has had an old man one-on-one game his whole career. He was a tremendous player, did have success in the league, and should call it a career. But here's what I don't get. Here's the thing I don't get. Why do people keep asking him? Why do they keep writing about whether he's coming back?
I don't know.
You know, he didn't write the story himself.
Right.
It wasn't on the Player's Bugle or whatever that thing, that goofy thing's called. It wasn't there. There are writers that keep, like, every 3 weeks go and ask him what's going on. I think it's because once you've become a New York Knick, everybody in New York, that they're totally preoccupied with it. Listen, we said it the other day. There's a reason why, like, we don't listen to a lot of the national news. We ran the Sports Center, and the guy announces whatever the guy from ESPN was. It takes a lot to kick the NFL off the front, off the top story on a Monday. And that's exactly what's happened with the New York Knicks. The word is that they're considering starting the process of firing their coach. I'm like, you're blanking joking, right? It's not even news. It's maybe, potentially, news.
All right, here's the source of this story, Petro. TMZ. He was walking in down the street. And he was asked if I'm looking at the video right here.
Don't ruin Jedlines, Todd.
I love Jedlines, but this was not like someone actually asked him. TMZ saw Carmelo. You want to play for the Knicks? Yeah, 2,000%. I want to play for the Knicks. Oh, no thanks.
Somebody asked? Yeah. Somebody asked. What, TMZ is not a reputable news source?
If you want to find out if someone's dead or alive, yes, I'm down.
They're kind of like the, you know.
If you want the video of the crime,
yeah,
I'm down.
It's totally credible.
Yeah, I'm down.
Exactly.
They got it all.
Because they can pay.
We'll press forward and stay in the world of the NBA. A lot is being made of the load management. One of the guys who says that he could have benefited by this is Corey Maggette, coming out saying that the Clippers are doing a great job managing Kawhi Leonard's minutes. What do you guys think? Should more NBA teams be employing this strategy?
Well, I think more NFL teams need to be protecting guys like LeSean McCoy, right? That's where it's really, really necessary,
sure.
Isn't it?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, honestly, if your goal is to win championships, of course you should be doing this more. 82 games in the time that they play it is too many.
Let's load manage for the entire league. Let's play 50 games like the strike year. It'd be great.
You can either do that, or you just have to understand that the NBA is like Major League Baseball. There are times you go to the ballpark, and we know 4 out of 5 nights, you're not getting Verlander. Of course, now if you're rooting for the Astros, one of those other 4, you're getting Garrett Cole, and another one, you're getting Zach Greinke. But you get my point. You're not getting Verlander every time. And even more, the position players don't play 162 anymore. So you get the Sunday getaway lineup. So
I think the bad.
Why are
the
we
bad,
freaking out over the NBA?
The bad thing, I think about things from like a Kansas City perspective, and a town like Kansas City would be the time that Kawhi doesn't play because it's like a Wednesday in Kansas City. So that's, I feel bad that it's those towns where like, hey, they're watching the stars on the other team because maybe they're not a great team, and that's the ones that miss. But it's just you're chum anyways. You're just there to be chewed up by the machine. So
yeah,
that's actually not true, because didn't Kawhi, wasn't it the Warriors that he sat against?
I think it was the Bucks. I can't
remember. Well, that's the top team in the East.
I know, but it's still a little crappy city in the middle of nowhere no one likes. He wouldn't sit down in New York. I'm just saying. Well, if he goes to New York City, he'd play.
The distinction between a baseball player and a basketball player is if you know the left fielder, even the biggest star in the game, if Mike Trout sits a game somewhere, he's probably playing the next night in the same ballpark, and he's one of nine people as opposed to one of five in a situation where you might not see him the rest of the year. If you're at home team, you might not see him for 2 weeks.
Yes, it's 10% more egregious, Curtis. 10%.
It's more than 10%, but
okay. At best, it's what?
20%. Yeah. My dress isn't over my head over this thing, but it is different than baseball. So I'm not panicked about it.
The smart move is to not have these guys play all those games. There's no doubt about that.
I'm not going
to
lead a rally against it or anything.
The only difference, is that it's twice as many games in baseball, and half as many people.
Yeah.
So, but the concept of it is. Both seasons are too long.
Yeah. 100%. I agree with that.
Right?
Yep.
Last year, here's who he sat against for the Raptors. At Washington, at Milwaukee, at the Lakers, at the Jazz, at the Bulls, so Chicago, yeah. L.A., at Atlanta, big market, at L.A. Clippers, at Golden State, San Francisco, at Philly, big market.
He sits everywhere.
Indiana, I think we've proven that Lebo, come on, stop.
I felt bad for Milwaukee.
Stop crying.
The poor kids in Milwaukee wanted to see Kawhi.
But you called it a crap town. You don't feel bad for Milwaukee at all. Let's move on to a guy who does not agree with load management. Tiki
Elitist.
Barber says that if the Giants are going to be out of contention, they should continue to play Saquon Barkley because, quote, he wants to be out there. It will hurt his psyche. What do you guys think of this? Is Tiki Barber a clown?
Yes, for reasons that have nothing to do with this story.
It's two separate questions.
Take a look at his personal life, and you'll go, yeah, that guy's a clown. But is on this subject, like, listen, at some point, like, we're talking about, this is what I love about the hypocrisy of what goes on. Why isn't Kawhi Leonard playing? This is ridiculous. And then, why aren't they sitting Saquon Barkley? They're not playing for anything. Well, which is it, man? Do we want him to play or not play? You can't bitch both ways, can you?
Yeah, well, nobody wants football players to sit. They just want them to play.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, if the Clippers were season was done, you know, past the midway point, but yeah, your point is a good one though. There certainly are. It certainly is a double standard there.
Todd, you're totally wrong. How many calls did we take about people saying, I wish they would sit Patrick Mahomes for another game before Tennessee?
Well, some of those. I'm just talking about nobody wants Saquon Barkley to sit because they want their damn fantasy points. They don't care.
Well, I mean, there are plenty of people that want guys to sit.
Yeah, there's probably people in New York who think he should sit for some reason because they're thinking about the future. But someone in Kansas City doesn't care about the Giants' future.
I think people in New York would like the entire Jets and Giants teams to sit so they can watch some other game. Those are the only two games you get in New York.
All they want to do in New York is to find out if possibly there's a chance that maybe the Knicks were thinking about possibly changing their coach. That's all anyone in New York cares about, right?
Or if Carmelo Anthony is coming back. A guy who will not be taking any plays off is Tom Brady. His trainer, Alex Guerrero, went on WEEI on Thursday and said that Tom Brady is looking at playing until maybe now, age 46 or 47. When is Tom Brady going to call it quits?
I've had enough of him already.
Like,
so.
I have for 10 years.
I am cautious in the fact that, like, does overexposure take us to that point or take the country to that point with Patrick Mahomes one day? I'd like to think not. You remember Tom Brady when he won that first Super Bowl, his second year in the league, shaking his head, hands on his head, looking over
this.
At his folks like, I can't believe this. And he was America's darling. And now he's an insufferable pain in the ass. Play or don't, I don't care, really. Mm-hmm. You're not a dynamic player. You just are a system guy who grinds it out. And I get it. The Patriots are great and Belichick's great. But I don't care. I don't need Tom Brady on the Facebook show. I just play or don't play, but stop talking about it. But you know what? Listen, I'll defend it from this standpoint. Stop asking him about it.
Well, now we're down to we're asking his trainer. His trainer is someone who appears on radio shows. That's how big Tom Brady is. I mean, that's what it's become there. I don't need Tom Brady in my life. I've had enough.
Yeah, I had my fill of Tom Brady 10 years ago. The fact that he's still around is beyond annoying to me.
And winning.
By the way, make sure you tune in Saturdays at 10 a.m. where Curtis Siebold and Soren Petro's trainer has a new radio show.
It's going to be good?
Our trainer. Yeah. No. He's clearly not any good himself.
He's going to be a chef somewhere.
Hey, these guys are going to keep doing this radio stuff. They got 20 more years in them. I mean, you know.
Our trainer's that. Who's the heavy set chef down in New Orleans?
Oh, Paul Prudhomme.
Paul Prudhomme.
Yeah. Paul Prudhomme. That's our trainer.
Paul
Prudhomme.
Brian Darby's going to come on and talk about feeding me buffalo chicken dip and cheeseburgers for 10 years.
You know, if you just put the buffalo chicken dip on the cheeseburger, Curtis, you can save a step, you know.
Yeah, it is good. It is good.
Well, we go from one person who will never retire to an animal who will be retired, and this is going to be our last deadline because we need to get to stumping the chumps. Did you guys see that Colorado's mascot, Ralphie the Fifth, is being forced to retire because of safety concerns, saying that the animal is too dangerous to have on the field? What do you guys think? Is this a good idea or a bad idea?
Are they bringing another Ralphie in?
They will have Ralphie 6
next
season.
Well, you need to have a safe Ralphie. It's probably best to let a rambunctious Ralphie go.
Well, wait a minute. Is he getting old? And like they're worried about him face planting?
No, he's only 12 years old, but he's too strong and aggressive to do the on the field run.
he's too yoked up to be tethered by these people running around in
their steroids, man. Yeah, steroids.
Can't control him. They need to dope him up like they do Bevo down there. He just sits there and goes like, "What?"
Or Deion Waiters, man.
Exactly.
There you go. Give him some edibles and see which way he goes.
Ralphie has a panic attack. That's the last thing they
need. Well, maybe that's the problem. Ralphie's having a panic attack because they've been feeding him the edibles on the sideline.
It's Colorado.
It is legal.
It is Colorado.
It is legal in Colorado.
That's so
perfect. Do we need live livestock roaming about our field? Can't they just put some guy in a costume and be done with it?
Yeah, but then people complain about the costume because is it Willie the Wildcat with the head and not the stuff? And then is it Pistol Pete with the great big weird head and the stuff? You know, I like to have the animals out there as well. It's good. Now, if you're at LSU and you've got Mike the Tiger, definitely keep him in a cage. Mm-hmm. That's smart to do, but put him right by the bench where they intimidate people. I like that stuff.
You know what I like? You know where you never see a live animal for a mascot?
Syracuse?
Well, yes.
Stanford?
One of many. No, but one that has a true animal for a mascot, dumbass.
Yeah.
Where?
Do you know where?
Nope.
Every school named Wildcats.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
Because what the hell is it?
Yeah.
It's a wildcat.
It's a cat that's just wild.
It's this cat running wild. Could be anything. Could be one of, you know, Jed's half-stone cats just bumbling around the apartment. Could be a fat black cat running across the Meadowlands field.
Yep.
Could be a mountain lion. Could be a coot. We don't know.
It's just wild,
we don't really know. So what would you get and put in a cage?
Any cat.
Well, that's but they don't because they don't really – they don't want to – they're like – you know, they don't even know themselves. What the hell is a wildcat? Of course, half of college football uses that as their nickname, but
at least Cougars, we know what Cougar is.
And I think it's not fair when they have the ladies out there dressed up, and you know, that's not fair.
One of those running wild.
Must be time to break now. I don't know.
Too bad. We had a bunch of stuff about Rafael Nadal getting questions about marriage, a guy getting kicked out of a golf tournament, people defending Jared Goff. Dwight Gooden being in a boxing match? Maybe next week. Those were Jedlines.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back, give you a chance to stuff the chumps. Great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We're down a man. Peter Yates, Enoch, not in today. So here's your chance to win great food from Jazz. This is what I want you to do, though. While you play, please go get a donation and give some food. For crying out loud, we've been feeding this city for years with Stump the Chumps. We're asking you to help us out on our 21st annual food drive. Come see us at Coach's. great specials from Brian and the staff here. If you want to come down, $8.10 for their specialty burgers, $8.10 for the world-famous homemade meatloaf special. You can take advantage of that today. So you want to give a little late lunch, early dinner, just stop by on your way home. We'd love to see you, coaches. It's one of our donation points for our 21st annual food drive. Every $20 that you give at 810WHB.com/food drive or here, we'll take your name and phone number if you come down here to coaches. Every $20 gets you registered to win prizes. Every $20 is an entry, so 80 would be four, and a $100 donation or a $500 donation would be five entries to win a pair of lower level tickets to the Chiefs and Raiders on December 1st. It's going to be the battle for first place. We'll even give you parking as well. Every $100 donation at 810WHB.com/food drive gets automatically entered.
The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Webster defines trivia as bits of information that are of little value. Webster never played Stump the Chumps, a Kansas City institution for a quarter century. If you like sports trivia and free stuff, this is your chance. All you gotta do is stump the chumps. And here they are, Seren Petro, Pete Enoch, and Curtis Siebold.
Is that the first day for the new intro?
Maiden
I
voyage.
I like that. Very, very strong. And of course, first day, Enoch absent. An absolute no-show. He no-shows the new intro. That's classic Pete. That's what he does. We're just kidding. We're thinking about our buddy Pete. He's doing great, but he did have some surgery recently, and he will be back next week. I spoke with him last night, and he is doing well. So look forward to seeing Pete back in his normal chair next week. Todd Lebo filling in for one Peter Yates Enoch this week. Your chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz, a Louisiana kitchen. We've given you great Cajun food for years and years and years, and we'll continue to do it. I would just ask that if you've ever won, here's a plea, if you've ever won great Cajun food from Jazz, or maybe it's barbecue from Joe's, or maybe it's sandwiches to Good Sense, or any other item of food that we've given, could you please pay it forward and give as part of our 21st annual 810 food drive. You can give monetary donations at 810WHB.com/food drive. You can bring your canned goods here to coaches at 135th and Grandview. That's just west of 135th and Antioch, coaches on 135th. And you can bring cash donations. We'll be happy to take that. You can give online at 810WHB.com/food drive. And I'm going to tell you, gentlemen, said that he is giving us very touching letter. Curtis, I'm going to have to let you read the letter. He dropped it off a little while ago. We had not opened it. I said, hey, Pamela was here finally. Not finally. I mean, I finally had a chance to give it to Pamela. She's been here. I finally went, oh, hey, I need to give you this. And she opened it up to check for the donation, and it was unbelievable. The generosity that was given. And he said, hey, basically, guys, enjoy the program. You give me a you know, a little entertainment here. He's much, much more poetic in what he wrote than what I'm saying here. But and to all of us here at the program, said this is my way of giving back. That was awesome.
Wow,
that was awesome, my friend. It is very sizable.
Can't wait to read it.
So we would, yeah, you look forward to it. I'm bringing it back for you to take a look at when we get back to the studio. But if we've ever made you laugh, smile, giggle, informed you, entertained you, help us out here. Help us give back to our community, the community that hosts us every single day and allows us to do a job that is a lot of fun. Let's give back all of Kansas City. It's our 810 Food Drive. Please help us out today. Time for some Stump the Chumps. Where do we start, Curtis?
We begin with Scott. You're in the program. Stump the Chump, Scott.
Yeah, hi. I've got kind of an obscure question, but I think we can have some fun with it. So
okay.
In 1928, University of West Virginia played two teams west of Morgantown. One was Oklahoma A&M, and the other was a team from Kansas that was neither KU or K-State. The game was played on a neutral site in Wheeling, West Virginia. Can you name the Kansas team they played?
Well, it could have been Wichita. I mean, they used to play football. What other Kansas universities?
Well, I mean, it could have been like Washburn or Baker or you know, St. Benedictine. I mean, it could have been any of those things back in the day. Heck, a lot of teams were playing.
Haskell.
Yeah. Haskell's a good guess.
You want to try that?
Jed says, yes, he likes Haskell. I like Haskell. Can we try Haskell?
All right. We'll try Haskell. How's that?
Haskell is correct.
Yeah.
Nice.
Curtis.
Fantastic.
That's how we like to start. Giving away. Yeah, but wow, very impressive. We
Thanks,
like
Scott.
To start by giving away nothing.
Yeah.
Giving away nothing.
Just to let you know.
9133. Yes. 9133-810-810. Who's next?
Dick, you're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Dick.
Hello, Chumps. Yeah.
Hello, today, Dick. What do you got for us, buddy?
I believe today is Cy Young Day. Tell me the last American League pitcher to win back-to-back Cy Young.
Probably Roger Clemens. Yeah. It's the,
with the Jays?
Yep. That would be
Has
my...
anybody done it since?
Boy, I don't think so. Chet wonders Corey Kluber.
I think Kluber just won one, didn't he?
Yeah, I think he did too.
Yeah,
we both went to Clemens right off the bat, I think says something.
Okay, we'll go Roger Clemens.
That your final answer?
Yep.
Yes, sir.
No, 20 years ago, Pedro Martinez was 99.
Crap. Mm. How did we not get Pedro?
You guys are idiots.
We got a Cy Young question.
Okay, yeah, go for it.
This year, Justin Verlander and Garrett Cole finished 1-2 in the AL Cy Young voting. Who were the two pitchers the last time teammates finished 1-2? Who were the teammates that finished 1-2 in the Cy Young voting?
Yeah, American League or American or National?
Either one.
Okay.
I could give him the league if you'd want.
Yeah, give him the league.
National League.
National League.
Spahn and Maddox.
Nope. It's been within the last 20 years.
Over the last 20 years. So is it Big Unit and Curt Schilling?
It is Big Unit and Curt Schilling.
You win,
there you go.
Sir,
you win, Dick. I just won for you.
Fantastic.
I won for Dick.
Nice work, Dick.
I'll do it. I realized that you were giving him a clue, and I had already just said the answer. I was like, and Drake had it too. Drake was showing like tall. That was his guess that somebody's tall.
It is
tall guy and the other guy.
It has
tall
never guy. Happened tall. In the American League until this year. The other three times
tall
it's happened,
guy
were,
and the tall guy and the broke blowhard.
Exactly.
It's hard to believe like the 05 Royals didn't get that or something.
No, Messersmith
yeah.
and Mike Marshall in 74 for the Dodgers and Koufax and Drysdale in the 50s. It had never happened in the American League before this year. Hmm.
Don't you think we should have an award where we recognize the worst?
Oh, we should.
I'm down with that.
Minimum innings total and all this. Like, okay, this guy was just the biggest turd.
Worst war in baseball.
Yeah.
He'd be the.
Yeah, ever.
You know, the
Nephi
know,
Perez
the
Award.
Anthony Young yes. Award.
Yes. Yeah, we get the Nephi Perez for the worst MVP. Yeah. And then, you know, the.
He
the,
wins. He wins the Nephi.
Was it Hiram Davies?
Yes.
Award. Hiram. He doesn't even get Kyle. He has to use his full birth name, Hiram Davies. The worst pitcher award. All right, 9133-810-810. Who's next?
Let's go to Ty. You're in the program. Stump the Chumps, Ty.
Talking about Cy Young, who's the only player to win the Cy Young and Rookie of the Year same year?
It would be Fernando Valenzuela, right? 81.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Is that right?
Fernando is correct.
Thanks,
Thank
Ty.
You.
Appreciate it.
9133-810-810.
I'm sorry, Curtis got me.
Damn it.
We'll take a break. Your chance to win great Cajun food from Jazz. The Louisiana Kitchen is right now. It's Stump the Chumps. You can help out your community by helping us out on our 21st annual 810 food drive. Go to 810whb.com/food drive. To make a monetary donation, get to Aldi. You can buy your food right there and then drop it off. They're partnering with us again. So take advantage of all your Kansas City Aldi stores. Now through Sunday, they're collecting donations. And we're collecting donations here at Coaches. Coaches is offering you $8 burger special, $8 for their world-famous meatloaf special right here at Coaches on 135th.
The program with Seren Petro. Weekdays from 2 to 6 on Sports Radio 810 WHB.
Welcome back, sports fans. You're in the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you. Our 21st annual food drive continues. Thanks to our friends at Aldi's. You can go to any Aldi's, buy the food right there, drop it off right there. All the Aldi's around the metro have drop-off bins. Look for that 810 bin. They'll be collecting all the way through Sunday. Please give back if you've enjoyed the program. If we've ever fed you, please, you owe it to the community to give back. Everything we collect is going to stay right here in Kansas City. Donations are going to go to the Bishop Sullivan Center and Mission Southside. So remember, you can make cash donations at 810whb.com/food drive. Every 20 bucks gets you an entry to win great prizes like Patrick Mahomes' autographed photo. Every $100 you give, I will get you entered to get you an entry to win lower-level Chiefs Raiders tickets and parking where it coaches 135th and Grandview, just west of Antioch. 810 lunch specials or dinner specials for you to come enjoy here today and drop off your canned goods here. We'll give you Cajun food if you can stump the chumps. Let's go to T-Box. T-Box, stump the chumps. What do you got, buddy?
Hey, guys. There's been three players in NFL history. Lamar Jackson has a chance to become the fourth to win an NFL MVP within 4 years after winning the Heisman. There's been three players to do that in the past. Can you name two out of three?
Did Barry Sanders win the MVP?
He did in 94.
That's 5 years after the Heisman?
Heisman in 88.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count, right?
That wouldn't fit the criteria. Chris Winkie,
Cam Newton.
Correct? I'm joking.
Cam Newton.
No.
Cam
no.
Newton would be right. He won in
15.
And he was 2011. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I would say Cam Newton's won.
We're going to start with Cam Newton.
Cam Newton was not one. I'm trying to think why.
What?
He wasn't within 4 years. Did Cam Newton not win the Heisman? I can't remember what it was.
Cam Newton won the
Heisman. He won the Heisman.
Okay. Oh, you know, he was in the 2011 draft. So he'd have been the 10 Heisman.
Okay.
Sorry.
10 Heisman.
Off.
There you go. Yeah. Way to go, Curtis.
But that's all right. You get a freebie there. The other one, Frank Sinkwich, that I was eliminating. What? But there are still two more guys that have done it.
I'm going to lob out.
Sinkwich, two guys.
Marcus Allen's one.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's 81 right. And 85. 81 and 85.
Yeah, that's good.
We'll try Marcus Allen.
Marcus Allen is one of them.
And nobody liked my Chris Winkie joke. I don't understand.
No, it's terrible. Terrible. What about Earl Campbell or George Rogers or something?
George Rogers. No, did
yeah, he didn't probably win. Earl Campbell might have won it, though.
He could have. Yeah. That's pretty good. He was 77. He could have been.
I think he did. I think he won it.
Maybe 79 or 80 or something.
We're gonna try. Like we're gonna try Earl Campbell.
He's the second one. He won the MVP in 78 and 79.
Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Well,
good job, Soren.
What do you mean, boom? We didn't get it. We blew it.
I'll give him a football.
You think
one.
We got it? I don't think we got it. Yeah, go for it.
Who was the only SMU quarterback to start 6 games for a Super Bowl champion? Born on this date. Still around. Birthday on this date.
SMU quarterback to start. Give me the criteria again.
SMU what? Quarterback started 6 games for a Super Bowl champion. Birthday. Today.
I assume those are the only 6 games that have been started by an SMU player, a quarterback, on a Super Bowl champion.
Probably, yeah. Looking at the list of quarterbacks.
Well, it's not Craig James. So it's
no.
John David Crow is the only SMU quarterback I can think of.
Nope.
It wouldn't be
Don
him.
Meredith.
Who was?
74 years old today, Mike Livingston.
Oh,
wow. For the Chiefs, yeah, great one. That's a great one. Who's next, Kay?
Coming up next, we have, let's go to Jeff. You're in the program. Stump the chumps, Jeff.
Hey, guys. Thanks for letting me on the show. It's a bit of a layup, but we'll give it a shot. In the 50-plus year history of Shawnee Mission Northwest High School, they have won one state football championship. I was a senior starter on that team. Who was my coach?
Tony Severino.
Did he win it there or did he win it at West? Oh, Sev, we're going to go see Coach Sev. We're going to say Coach Sev.
Yeah, Coach Sev. It was his first in 1981-82.
Nice.
Year. Yep, thanks, guys.
Yeah, that's awesome.
I got one.
You bet. Who's next?
We got time for Tommy Moe. Go, Tommy.
Hey, sticking with the local former Olathe North high school player is currently number 7 on Mel Kiper's big board of the 7th pick in the NFL draft. Who is it?
Wow.
Oh, I don't even know.
You guys have one more time?
I thought Lebo might be able to snake this one out.
Quick, what? Who was it? What was the question again?
In the third round, but he can play.
I'm out. I've asked for the question again twice and been ignored. So I don't know if you guys try.
Sorry, NFL. He's former Olathe North High School product, and he's currently seventh on Mel Kiper's big board.
I got no clue.
I don't know. Who is it?
Plays for Clemson, number 11, Isaiah Simmons, guys. Watch.
He's a Astros won a Rookie of the Year this week. Who? All right.
The Hour Question. Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue in Olathe, Leawood, and the original in the gas station at 47th and Mission.
Tommy Lowe just messing things up all the time. All right, this Saturday will be the first non-sellout at Notre Dame Stadium since what year? Brought to you by Joe's Kansas City Barbecue.